Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Father, I just thank you for this time we've had to worship you today. I thank you, Jesus, that we have a Savior. I thank you, Jesus, that you came at Christmas. Jesus, I thank you, you came as Emmanuel, God with us. And so, Father, we thank you that we can spend these moments worshiping you. I thank you now, Jesus, for this word you've given me, and I pray, Holy Spirit, you'll speak through me as I share it today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please take your seats. So as you'll be aware, our theme over Christmas 2021 has been joy. And as we said last time, joy is all over the Christmas story, the story of God's coming to be with God's people in flesh and blood. And as you look at the Christmas story in the Bible, the joy factor is through the roof. Joy has gone viral in the Christmas story. It's contagious and it's infectious. And then by the end of the second chapter of Luke, there's hardly been a single character who, an entire story, who hasn't had the word joy or on his lips at some point. All the way through the Christmas story, we see the words joy, joy, rejoice. And as I said before, the angels are sharing it, the women are feeling it, unborn babies are leaping with it, the shepherds are racing towards Bethlehem because they heard of it, the three wise men are hot on their heels on the journey towards Epiphany. Rejoice, for these are good tidings of great joy. But let me ask you a question. What about you in this room? What about you watching online? Did you experience great joy this Christmas? The joy that only Jesus can give? Did you experience that joy? See, when I look around the world and I see all that's going on, I don't see a lot of joy going on. I see Christmas being lost. I see the meaning behind it forgotten. And as I look on it and I wonder and I ask myself this question, Christmas, what is it really all about? And let's have a look at that word Christmas. It should come up on the screen for us. That word Christmas, there it's there up on the screen. See, when we look closely and think about Christmas and all the things that it involves today, there's a number of things that I see that don't sometimes contribute towards our joy at Christmas. Actually, it has the negative opposite effect on us. Rather than contributing to our joy, it's actually draining joy from us. So let's have a look at some of these things that could drain our joy at Christmas. The first thing I see in that word Christmas is the word cram. The word cram, there's so much to do in the run-up to Christmas. And everybody's always asking this question in the run-up to Christmas. Everybody always goes, Stephen, are you ready for Christmas? And I'm thinking, how am I supposed to know when I'm ready? Is there an official checklist? Is there a list somewhere? Because I think if somebody invented that list, then they'll make a lot of money selling it if we know when we're ready for Christmas. If you've got that checklist, I want a copy, like, because I just think it just gets so crammed and we try to do so much in the Christmas season. And then the next thing I see in the word Christmas is the word, next one I think is charum. Charum. See, this is such a lovely, cozy time of year. We have lots of family traditions, things that we do with friends, and I'm sure, and for us, it's putting up the Christmas tree on a certain day, and it's Boxing Day with friends, etc., etc. We all have our own little cozy traditions that we put in at Christmas, and I'm sure that you all have your own traditions as a family or as individuals, and it all adds to the charm of Christmas. And the next thing I see in Christmas, though, is this word cash. Cash. Christmas seems to cost more and more each time it comes around. I don't know about you, but I notice that. It seems to cost more and more. And I had a little bit of a research last week about how much we're going to spend in the UK this Christmas. And I found online it said that we're going to spend £84.7 billion in total this Christmas. For many, it's money that they just don't simply have. And the shoppers are predicted to spend £12.44 billion on gifts alone. And it's estimated that around 40 million people will buy Christmas gifts this year. But let me tell you what's even more staggering about those stats, though, is that over one third of people, or 16.9 million people in the UK, have to borrow money at Christmas to buy those gifts. 18% of them are going to use credit cards. 7% are going to use overdrafts. 5% are going to use loans. And 6% are going to use buy now, pay later services. And worryingly, 1 in 8 or 14% of those people say they don't know when they're about to pay it off completely. And 15% of those who use credit to fund Christmas last year, 2020, are still paying this off this year. That is why our work with CAP and offering money courses and life skills courses is so vital. And I want to tell you, if you're in this room or you're watching online and you're affected by this area, then I want to encourage you to come and speak to myself, speak to Michael. We can put you in touch with people who can help you in that situation. We don't want you to suffer alone if that is you in that situation. We want to be able to help you in that. The next thing I see when I look at that word Christmas is this word trash. Trash. And I think about that, and I don't mean the rubbish that's in our bins after all the presents I've opened yesterday. I'm thinking about the same old TV programs that get put out every year. The same old movies. Oh, man, some of the Christmas movies are absolute dire. Oh, man, they're rubbish. Oh, I hate them. Do you know, my favourite Christmas movie is Die Hard. And it's always a debate. I think we should have a competition. I think we should have a poll in church. Put your hand up if you think a Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Oh, man. So for everybody didn't put your hand up, you're wrong. And if you're watching online, put in the online chat if you think Die Hard is a Christmas movie. I'm telling you, it's the best Christmas movie ever. It's the best one ever. But we get the same old stuff coming on the TV and the same old movies get trotted out every year. And occasionally we get a new one that's pretty good, but often it's the same old stuff. And then the next thing I see when I look at that word Christmas is this word sham. Sadly, we often end up putting on a front and pretending to be nice to people we haven't seen for ages, even our relations sometimes. Pretending that we like those presents. You open up and you're like, oh, wow, thank you very much. That's what I always wanted. And you're lying through your teeth because you don't like it. It becomes a sham. I think we should do a poll to see who had that yesterday. No, don't think. Better not do that. But that's what it sometimes is like. It's a sham. We're pretending we like people, or we're pretending we love those gifts, and it just becomes a bit of a sham. And the next word that I see in Christmas is this word, smart. Normally, in a normal Christmas year, it's a time for dressing up for those Christmas parties or making sure that we have the right outfits for Christmas Day. We like to be smart at Christmas. And then the next thing I see in that word Christmas is this word, hits. Listening to music, and it's not such a big deal anymore. When I was growing up, and if you're young, like, you don't know what I'm going to say here, Top of the Pops would be on Christmas Day, and you wanted to watch it to see what was going to be Christmas number one. Every year, some of the people who are a wee bit senior are nodding their heads to know what I'm talking about. They wanted to see what was going to be Christmas number one, but I'm not too sure if it's such a big deal so much anymore about what's Christmas number one. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't. But people are shaking their heads. It's not such a big deal anymore. But when I was growing up, it used to be a massive big deal who's going to be Christmas number one, or the hits. And then the next word I see in there is this word, trim. Not that kind of trim for you thinking you're like, I need to try and get back in shape after Christmas, but not that kind of, saving that kind of trim for after the indulgence, after New Year when we've finished all the indulgence, but rather trimmings, and I couldn't quite get trimmings out of the word Christmas, but trimmings, all the extras that go with that special Christmas meal. And let me tell you, why on earth do you try and do all that stuff to Brussels sprouts to try and make them taste nice? I think Brussels sprouts is food right for the devil. It's horrible. It's horrible. Put your hand up if you like Brussels sprouts. Oh, man. Father, I pray for all these heathen people in church today. But if they're that good, though, why do you try and do stuff to them? You try and add stuff to make them taste half decent. All the trimmings that go with it. Oh, it's horrible. But reality, let's get back to some serious stuff. But we know that Christmas is really much more than any of this stuff. amongst all of these things, what is it that we're really unwrapping this Christmas? See, there's some words hidden in that word Christmas that I think might help us. And the first word that I want to point out is the word charts. Not the pop charts. We've already had that already with hits. Not the top 20, but the charts that were studied once upon a time by some wise people far away in the East. The wise men could have noted the appearance of the star in their charts and done nothing more. They could have indicated that this phenomenon was probably heralding something very special, and then just went back to their normal everyday lives. But no, they put a commitment to their conviction. They put their feet to their faith, and they commenced on a journey. And that's when we get our next word, star. And they discovered a new star, which they followed carefully. And we read in Matthew chapter 2, verse 9, it says, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. See, when God presents us with a new opportunity, are we willing to get up like the wise men? Are we willing to get up and begin a journey of faith? And I think the story of the wise men helps us to see there is something so special, something remarkable that awaits us at the end of our faith journeys. And one of the things that has always intrigued me about the story of the wise men is the incredible wrong turn that the wise men took as they neared the end of their journey. See, instead of looking for the star in Bethlehem, or following the star, sorry, right to Bethlehem, they stopped in Jerusalem to ask for directions from Herod. And that's caused some people to suggest that these guys were no such wise men after all, and they're only famous because they were the only men in history to stop and ask for directions. Wake up, it's quicker. The only men in history to ask for directions. But they found what they were looking for in Bethlehem, and they laid before him their gifts, and they worshipped him. And that is our next word from Christmas, him. The baby Jesus lying in a manger, the reason for the whole Christmas season. And in Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 to 23, it says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. And this is the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And he says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And although how we celebrate the Christmas will be different for all of us, the reason that the celebrations happen are all the same. And we can see that from our last word from Christmas, Christ. And John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Look how much we are loved by God. He sacrificed his one and only son. What have we sacrificed for God lately? What have you sacrificed for God lately? And I think that is something to remember and act upon at this time of year. And despite Jesus being the reason for the season, so many people miss it. So many fail to find Jesus even at Christmas time as they get caught up in all that stuff that we were joking about earlier. But this isn't something new. Even on that first Christmas, people miss Jesus. People miss the Savior. People miss the King of Kings. There was no room for him in the inn that first Christmas. In fact, the only place Jerusalem had for Jesus was a cross. Even in his death, there was no room for him, for he was buried in a borrowed tomb. The reasons that people miss Jesus at that first Christmas, I think, is still the reasons that we sometimes miss Jesus at Christmas today. One reason there was no room for Jesus was because of ignorance. The innkeeper, and I can mention him because Michael's not here, it's good, he's not going to give me a row. The innkeeper, who is not mentioned in the Bible, but he's assumed, and even the people of Bethlehem didn't know the baby about to be born was the Son of God. Mary and Joseph knew, the shepherds knew, the wise men knew, Anna and Simeon in the temple and Elizabeth knew, but the whole population of Bethlehem did not know. And nothing has changed today. People are still ignorant of the fact that Christmas is all about Jesus. Not about Santa, not about mince pies, not about Christmas trees, but about Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And another reason there was no room for Jesus was indifference. Indifference. Can you imagine the innkeeper as he shuffles a young woman about to give birth in a cow stall? He simply had no concern, neither did the rest of the people who were in Bethlehem. They probably watched a young, heavenly pregnant woman look for a bed for the night. And what happened? No one offered. Or perhaps people were just too involved. They were so busy they didn't just have time. Rooms everywhere were filled with guests and all the hustle and bustle that this would bring. Like many of us, they were too busy with other things. They had no room for Jesus. Let me ask you, today, Found Church, watching online, do you have room for Jesus? But let me tell you, it was no accident that all of this happened. It was prophesied in the Bible, and I want to read from Isaiah 53 in the Message paraphrase. It says, there was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him, thought he was scum. What about you? Have you found Jesus this Christmas, or are you ignorant, indifferent, or just too involved in all the trappings of Christmas? Have you received the greatest gift that's ever been given? Let me ask you, Found Church, have you ever received a gift and just left it lying unopened? I'm sure there's nobody in this room who is sitting with a gift under their Christmas tree with their name on it waiting to be opened. I certainly haven't. In fact, the only Christmas presents that are ever left unopened are those wrapped for someone who does not arrive to receive them. Sadly, when it comes to God's unsearchable gift, that is what many are doing. They have left the greatest of all gifts, the gift of God's love, wrapped up in his Son, Jesus Christ, have left it lying unopened. And let's look at the nature of God's gift and the way his gift can be treated. Firstly, we can see that God's gift to us is a lavish gift. And when I traveled a lot from my job, I would often look at those in-flight magazines, all the different sorts of gifts that you could buy. Some of them are very, very lavish and very, very expensive. Indeed, I'm sure if you've traveled, you'll see them. You think, wow, who actually buys these gifts? I've never seen anybody buying them. And I used to always buy Charlotte a gift from the different countries that I would visit on my travels. But they were getting more and more lavish and more expensive as I was trying to get a better gift than the last time. And then plus she started looking for the gift rather than her dad coming through the door. So then I gave up with that idea. Of course, you could buy a child's gift for a few pounds and then watch them have more fun with the box that it came in rather than the gift itself. But God gave the greatest of all gifts when he sent his Son to be born in Bethlehem for you and for me. This gift was the best that heaven had to offer. He came to redeem us for our sins and to offer us eternal life. But for this gift to be effective, though, we need to receive it. We must receive it. This gift requires some action on the part of the recipient. And as I read earlier in John 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And this verse reminds us that we must receive Jesus by believing in him in order to obtain the benefits. He came for you. This is your gift. But you must turn from your sin. You must believe in him as Lord and Savior and follow him, or the gift is simply left unopened. Secondly, I see that it's a lost gift. Some gifts have a time limit. Have you ever received a gift card and then put it aside, thinking I'll use that later, and when you find it in your drawer, you discover that it's expired and you can't use it anymore? I guess a number of us have done that in the past. And a lost gift, sometimes it's a real terrible waste. You feel really disappointed in that lost gift. And I came across this story as I was thinking about this message today, and let me read this story for you today. It says, a 17-year-old man was expecting to get a car for Christmas from his wealthy grandfather. On the appointed day, the grandfather handed the teenager a box, and the boy tore open the box to find a leather Bible inside. His grandfather asked him, do you like it? The boy answered that he did, but one could see the disappointment on his face. The grandfather told him to be sure to read the Christmas story when he got a chance. And the lad said that he would, and actually, however, he went home that day and tossed the Bible in a drawer and never ever opened it. A few months went by and the grandfather sadly passed away. And at the funeral of a friend of the family asked the young man if he had gotten his new car. The lad replied that he had not received a car for Christmas. He told the man that all he got from his grandfather was a Bible. The friend said, "My dear boy, go home and read Luke chapter 2 and see what you find in there." Later that day, when the boy was at home, he opened the drawer, pulled out the Bible and turned to Luke chapter 2. There he found a letter from his grandfather tucked in the pages of a story. He opened it and discovered a key to a brand new car. Also, however, he read these words: "The car I have purchased for you has been held by the dealer for 90 days. You must pick it up by that time, or you will lose the car." The boy quickly looked at the calendar and he threw his hands up over his face because he had missed the opportunity for the car by just 3 days. He had lost a great gift. And many people are doing the exact same thing with Jesus. Some have decided to wait for a more convenient time to settle things with God. Sure, they intend to look into this matter about Jesus one day in the future, but then life slips away and the gift is left unopened. Death comes too quickly and the gift is unopened. And I wonder how many have lost life's greatest gift by putting off opening their hearts to receive God's Son. Don't wait too long, friends. Don't wait too long. Losing a car is one thing, but losing your soul is an entirely different thing indeed. And the third and last thing that I see in this about the gift is that it's a lasting gift. See, for those listening to this message, either in this room or watching online, this gift is still available. It is still sitting waiting for you to receive it. You can have the greatest Christmas of your life by accepting Jesus as your Savior this very, very day. The greatest thing about this gift is that it lasts forever. Have you ever thought about some of the Christmas gifts you received many years ago? I can still remember the first train set that my parents ever gave me. I absolutely loved it at the time. But where is it now? Long ago, it was swallowed up in a rubbish dump somewhere in the world's discarded objects. And as a band come and we wrap this up, however, I accepted Jesus over 20 years ago, and the gift of God's Son came into my life. This is a gift that has never faded. In fact, that gift has become more beautiful, more valuable, and more useful in my life each passing day and year. The one thing that has lasted all of these years is Jesus. His salvation, his word, his blessings, his promises, his peace, his presence in my life. Yes, the greatest gift is God's Son, for that is a gift that will last for eternity. So when the wrapping paper has been tossed in the recycling, when the Christmas tree is outside the house waiting for disposal, and when the Christmas meals have been eaten and forgotten, Jesus will always be the same. He is, after all, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So can I encourage you, Found Church, if you're in this room watching online, open up your heart to Jesus this Christmas. He will open up to you the greatest of all Christmas gifts, the gift of his love and the gift of his eternal life. This is one gift that you don't want to leave unopened. Let's pray. Father,
thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.